gospel. And let's get into the Word of God for a few minutes this morning. We're studying the wonderful life, the life of Jesus Christ here on this earth. Amen. Christ lived these 3 years or so, and 33 years is 3 years of ministry, and God has a purpose for everything. I don't know why he picked so many years. Why not this amount or that amount? I don't know. Some I've heard speculate and say, well, that is the prime of a man's life, 33 years. I don't know. It just depends on the circumstances, you know. But Christ lived a wonderful life, and then we're now, from the Sermon on the Mount, we're tapping into his 3 years of ministry here on the earth after the Holy Ghost came as a dove, the voice spoke, he went through the wilderness, Sermon on the Mount, he established his philosophy, if you want to call it that, his theology, and how he wanted his followers to live. And now we come into the 8th chapter, and we've already witnessed as he came down out of the mountain, we have witnessed a leper that approached him and said, Lord, if thou wilt, you see, Christ's teaching had already generated a faith in people's heart. And that's what I was trying to do this morning, preaching to you, to generate some faith in you, that you can believe on the Son of God, and that belief will change your life. If your life's not changed, you haven't believed. Amen. But if you'll believe in Christ, him as your Savior, and apply that to your life, then it'll change you. It changes your nature. How many knows when you get saved, you get a new nature? How many knows you get victory over the fallen Adam, and that new Adam, second Adam, lives in your life? Amen. You mean men can't fail after that? Oh, yeah. They can, but they don't have to. I said they can, but they don't have to. Amen. God has given them the ability. Amen. In them, Christ in them, the hope of glory. And so we come into the leper, and then we move on down, and we studied about the servant of the soldier that was sick, and how that he told the Lord, if you just speak the word, my servant will be healed. And so Christ admired this man's faith, and he said, I've never seen any greater faith than this. The man just has enough confidence in who I am and the power of my word and the insight that he had. That all you got to do, you've been a man of authority. All you got to do is say the word and my servant will be healed. And Christ told him, said, that's what's going to happen. And we're going to pick up this morning in verse number 10. I'll read down a few verses and get into something else. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Now here's that lesson. This man, the centurion, was a Roman. He wasn't a Christian per se. He wasn't a Jew, but he did have faith in Christ. And so he says, and listen to this. This is very shocking, but he says, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Many, many different types of people. Every nation, kindred, and tongue. How many can say amen to that? And he said, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out unto outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, here is Christ in the midst of this man's faith. He is pointing the finger at the Jewish nation. And he said, look, how many knows the verse that said he came to his own and his own received him not? But here he is. He said, look, many's going to come and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's your forefather. And while others that are outside are going to come in and enjoy this kingdom of heaven, you're going to be cast out. How could that ever be? You know, that tells you right there that Christ is teaching here against divine selection, I guess you'd call it, or whatever you want to call it. Man and women have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. That's right. When you come to church and the gospel's preached, you choose. You've already chose this morning. When a little dab of preaching that I did, you already made a choice to receive that and try to do something about that or ignore that. And that will affect your life. When you leave this building this morning, that has a power over you. If you receive it, accept it, and work on it, it'll make you better. If you reject it, it's just old Brother Webb or just yeah, and you're going to be the same ornery self you've always been. Amen. God's called me to help people, try to help people to hear the gospel and do better. And here's what he said to them. He said, look, you are in the lineage. You are blood. You have the blood right to be part of this kingdom. But if you don't accept me, you're going to be cast to hell. You are going to go to hell. That's what he said to these people. If you, while others from outside the children of the kingdom be bound and cast in the outer darkness. That's why I mentioned earlier that people that are raised in church, raised in a Christian home, raised with the gospel. Americans. Let's go a little broader. How about American people? Who have the right and liberty to go to church anytime they want to. Preach anything they want to preach. It's going to change. It will change. But right now, we can preach against anything we want to preach against. Freedom of speech. Freedom of religion. The government has no, you know, regardless of what people think about the Constitution. The Constitution does not guarantee the separation of church and state. That ain't in there nowhere. It ain't in there. You say, well, I hear it all the time. It ain't in there. It says the government has not the authority to establish a national religion. That's what it says. In other words, they can't come in here and say, you got to preach this way, you got to do this, you got to do that. Uh-uh. We have the freedom of religion. And I thank God for it. I mean, around election day, you see who we got running, you almost just, I mean, I've said it, and I don't mean it, but I almost said, I'm going to mission field. But I'm not going to mission. I'm in the mission field. This is it. But you almost think, but you've heard people say, America, love it or leave it. Huh? Right? But really, I'm glad to be an American. I'm glad for the privilege. And here's what he said. What about people in America? What is God? How is that going to affect when you got people in China, say, so to speak, or in the Middle East, where in Saudi Arabia, which is one of America's staunch allies in the Middle East, it's against the law for them to do what I'm doing this morning. They lose their life for it. Be put in prison over it. I'm glad for America. And you are too, aren't you? Huh? But he says, you that are children of the kingdom, be cast out. And look at this. Look, and I'm going to go into something else. But listen to this. It says, the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, how many believes that verse right? You know, a lot of people don't believe hell is almost forgotten in this hour. Did you know that? Hell is almost forgotten. It's just it's a cuss word. People use it for a cuss word, but they've just about forgot. It's a forgotten place. But how many knows that hell is still real? And he said, you know, you've got to make a choice. You've got to believe in the Son of God. Now I don't want to shake you up here this morning, but I want you to understand that if we do not believe in Jesus Christ as God's only begotten Son, divine, that gives his blood. If we don't believe that in order to be saved, we're not saved. You can be a good moral person. You can do more good deeds than Mother Teresa. But if you're not saved by Jesus Christ, you're not saved. You say, well, brother, that is pretty tight. Well, it's what the Bible teaches. Is it right or not? Huh? We've got to plead the blood. There's only one precious blood whereby men must be saved. There is one mediator between God and man. And who is that man? Jesus Christ. It's not, you know, religion is not to be just exclusive. It's like we're a little club of some kind. That's not it at all. But you do have to be saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It is exclusive in that manner. But it's also inclusive. Because God said, whosoever will, let him come. You can do it. You can. He said to these Jews, you can look. But if you don't believe, then you'll be cast out of the kingdom. All right? Now, and Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way. Now look at this. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that self same hour. Boy, I'd love to get a hold of that right there. I'd love to get a hold of that right there. There's things I'm praying about, and you are too. There's enough here in this church to keep us on our knees 24/7, really. If we really spent the time on each issue, Brother Darrell, as serious as your issues are, you understand what I'm saying? And then you go from one to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. It would be, we wouldn't have enough hours in the day to pray earnestly about everything. But we have to do the best we can. Right? Amen. But he said, this man had faith, and he said, see, you remember what he said, don't you? He said, Lord, you don't even have to go to my house. You just speak your word. You just say it. Lord, all you got to do, Lord, is say it. And if you say it, then that word will travel the distance, and you won't even have to go there. How many believes in that? I know that's true. How many has ever had a call? Mom, how many times have you? I remember when us kids learned to drive. My mom, I'm telling you, talk about a prayer warrior. She went into it. She knew how we were. And I'm telling you, when my brother, he got to working and driving the car, and he'd be a little late for work, mom would go to pray. You know? And if it rained or snowed or trouble, here she'd go to pray. And you say, well, what good does that do? Well, I'll tell you one thing. She's got a boy right now that's going through his training, and he's getting ready to get on the plane, go to Afghanistan. Now, if I was going to Afghanistan, I mean, I wouldn't care. I'd like to have a Hummer, with all the fortifications. I'd like to have the flak jacket. Oh, yeah, two of them if I can get them. I'd like to have it all. I'd like to learn how to, if I was going to have a gun, I'd like to learn where the trigger's at on it. But what I'd rather have more than anything else, I'd like to have some good mama praying. And she can't, Mom, I don't know. I don't know what her plans are this summer, but I doubt if she's going to fly to Afghanistan. But I'll tell you what she can do. She can send her prayers. She can touch God, and God can speak the word. Amen. You believe this? I remember, how many remembers Brother Bill Tinsley? He's still living. Great preacher. Y'all remember him, Sister Helen, Bill Tinsley? He's a good old brother. You know, he's on up there now. I don't want to say how old he is because some of y'all might be that old. But he's getting on up there. I remember he was in the Navy. And he was in the battle zone. And I remember him telling about how that he sent home a note to his mother. He was writing for her that the battle was hot and that he wanted to... to pray for him. He'd survive. And there was an old buddy in the, if I got the story right, that seen him writing or heard him, and he said, hey, tell her to pray for me too. Put my name in there. I don't have nobody to pray for me. Put my name in there. Tell her to pray for me too. And you know, brother, they went through a battle with two survivors. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know the rest of the story, don't you? You say, I don't believe that. I believe it's time and chance. I believe prayer alters time and chance. I don't believe it's a gamble all the time. Now, I know it does, Brother Kenny. I have enough sense to know if I get up in the morning, get in my car, and there's a drunk driver gets out in his car down the road, and if time and chance happens, I know, I got enough sense to know that if he's on my side of the road, and unless I have asked the Lord, Are you listening? Unless I have asked the Lord to deliver me from evil, unless there's been a prayer made or something made or God Almighty, it's hard to tell how many times that he's just altered that man's path. You ever have an intuition? You just going out to the car and all of a sudden you think you forgot something. You just stop. What is it I forgot? Huh? Or do like my mom. Did I leave the iron on? That used to be a common one there. Huh? And then you just go back in the house and you don't know, why did I do that? And then you get in the car and go down the road and you get down to the curve of the road and you see the blue lights. Am I understanding what I'm talking about? Y'all believe in that? I don't believe it's witchcraft or I don't believe it's mind over matter. I believe it's a power of prayer and faith. I really do. Go before us, God. Here's what this man said. How many need this? I need this. Randy Webb needs this scripture this morning. This man said, Jesus looked at him and said, as thou hast believed in thy heart. And you know what that the Bible says? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, for us to believe something that ain't true, that ain't going to work. You know what I'm saying? I could say, I believe I'm a kangaroo. And I ain't going to be no kangaroo. You know, because that's this thing. What we believe, faith comes by believing what's true. You understand what I'm saying? God said, Lord said, I'll do this or I'll do that or I'll save you. We believe he will. It's like my little girl over here, and I hate to embarrass, she's not in here. But, you know, the devil haunts her. These little kids, they try to live right. And the devil haunts her, and she's wanting to know how to overcome him. And you know, it's in that Bible. You got this word of God. You got to believe what God said. He said, I'll never leave you. You know what that means, Brother Stiltner? That means never. And so we go back and we believe that. And he said, and I got to hurry here. But he said, look, you know, what you've believed in your heart, I've done that. Go. And I don't know how long it took him to get back, but that selfsame hour, just that servant that had been so sick, and you don't understand. Why did I feel better today? Do you ever just wonder, why did I feel better today? Could it be somebody got a prayer through for you? I've heard it all my life, Sister Mary. People say, I can feel your prayers. And I know what they meant, but I never realized until I experienced it. But when you get certain spots in your life, and you can feel the prayers, and it's like a foundation underneath you, and you don't know you ought to be sinking, but I'm not. How? Why not? Because the prayers of the saints are holding you up. Amen. How many understands what I'm talking about? How many knows the Lord? The Bible said he sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed them. That's why this Bible needs to be defended, the gospel. That's why we don't need to cut no corners when it comes to holiness, personal, inward, outward holiness. When it comes to the plan of salvation, baptisms, and holiness of life, and sanctification of heart, we don't need to cut no corners on this. Because that's not our book. That's his book. We're just his servants. In our own personal lives. Listen to me. That's why you don't go to church and preacher get up and preach against things, and then you go home and take your kids and live the opposite. They ain't going to have no confidence in the preacher or the Bible or you. That's right. We need to treat this Bible as right. Now, I'm not talking about being fanatics. I've actually heard people take a little something out of the Bible and make a whole big deal out of it. It's really weird. Not even right. I believe in the truth on the right and the left. You understand what I'm saying? I believe in it. I don't think the truth is necessarily just being so strict nobody else can live it. I don't think that is it at all. Huh? I don't. But I think the truth is the truth with the true spirit. And so we find this centurion, he knew who Jesus was. He knew by faith who he was. Everything around him spoke that Jesus was just a rebel and just a troublemaker. And he was all these things that they thought about him. But when he heard his word and he experienced his spirit, he said, this is God, this is the man that can do it. And he realized, being a man of authority, he realized what authority the Son of God had. And he said, look, I'd say that in my life. There are situations that I have turned upside down and pondered, what can I? And I realized that there's only one in some situations that have the authority to do certain things. and it's the Son of God. Amen. And so we believe and we say, Lord, you've got the word. I've said it many times lately. Lord, you can do it. You can say it, and it'll be done.